Weekly.
Is MMO Weekly.
Yes, for Oscar Week, that groovy tune brings us in. Welcome, welcome, welcome back, my friends. A show that comes to you once a week, covering the Hollywood Week that was and the Hollywood Week to come. This is Mike and Oscar Weekly, hashtag MMO Weekly, hashtag MMOW. I am your co-host, Mike One. This is co-host also, Mike, it's Oscar Week.
It's finally here.
Yes.
We're excited. We got a huge programming schedule that is way too ambitious.
We are
that we're never
so
going to do
far over our heads.
We cried for 10 minutes hugging each other before the episode, like the beginning of Fight Club, and now we are just biting off more than we can.
And we both have tits like meatloaf from Fight Club. Yes.
We do. And Mike, we're excited though.
Yes,
we're like
very,
overly excited.
Very. This is our biggest week. You've heard us hype about it literally all year long. It's the reason that we started this podcast and this brand in the first place. We want to make award season year-round, and there's no better time to do that than when it's the biggest awards week of the year. Oscars, obviously, will come to you live this Sunday from Hollywood, California, on February 24th. And in the lead-up to then, we are going to be gracing you in how we wanted to start this MMO Weekly to fill you in. We're giving you, basically, MMO Daily here. Mike, yes. Mike, and Oscar, every day we're going to have a new episode, new content for you churning out. Your iTunes feed is going to get sick of us, but hopefully you don't. We're going to be giving you a new episode every single day this week to and through Oscar Sunday, Mike.
We don't understand social mores. Like we're the friend that calls too often and texts us too often.
That's personal space is just a myth.
Yeah, it is a myth. We're close talkers.
Yeah.
And bottom line is we got this MMOW. Usually on Mondays, we'll vary that schedule up. We'll do may do another one next Sunday as a last second Oscar preview. But today, Monday, we got MMOW. We watched most of the Oscar nominated shorts.
Yes.
We have a recap of our latest 6 degrees of MMO. Our audience interaction, box office, trailer thoughts, do you care, which we touch on a bunch of the news stories out there.
Mm-hmm.
We have an Oscar race update right atop the show, as we normally do throughout award season, Writers Guild, Cinema Audio Society, Makeup and Hairstyling Awards, and of course the sound editors, don't forget them. And we're going to go back in time, look at the Grammys for a hot minute as well. But Mike, we got a big episode dropping tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow it's a personal favorite of ours. It's one of our inspirations for starting this brand. We actually had a chance to interview Scott Feinberg, he of the Hollywood Reporter, he of the Feinberg Forecast that comes out all week, every week, I should say, in the lead up to the Academy Awards. He of basically our hero and God. He was nice enough, and the Hollywood Reporter was nice enough to let him talk to us for a little bit, and we got everything we could ask for out of that interview.
And
we talked to Scott about how he got started in the industry, how he got to the Hollywood Reporter, his thoughts on the big picture of the Academy, the diversifying Academy, the popular film narrative, the present all 24 narrative, and then we talked about category specifics such as the supporting actress category, yes, the best picture category. It really was a blast talking.
And the shelf life for that episode is going to be forever, because Scott gave us, you know, some of his origin story, and we got to talk through kind of his career path and how he started, and he gave a lot of sage advice,
yeah,
for people starting out. I know we have a lot of podcasters, a lot of movie bloggers and reviewers and critics listening to us now. You don't want to miss this one. This guy really tells all, and it's so awesome to hear from somebody as big as he is in the industry. Go listen to him on the Awards Chatter podcast. He interviews all the stars. Go on YouTube and anywhere you can find his Q&As. He moderates and hosts a lot of those for SAG-AFTRA and many other organizations. This guy is a terrific interviewer in his own right, and he really put us at ease ourselves as hosts, because he knows,
yeah,
how the game is played there.
One of those, you know, never meet your heroes thing is kind of BS, because he couldn't have been nicer to us.
He was so
absolutely
kind. So kind.
Absolutely. We're very humbled and gracious.
He gave us a lot of
grateful
time to
him. Yeah, he did. Another entry into our MMO interview series. We also talked to Riley Anspaugh and Jeffrey James, them of HeadGum.
Very funny.
Out there. Brennan Lee Mulligan from College Humor and Dropout. I don't know why these people are taking the time out of their day to talk to us, but we're very grateful, yeah, that they are, and we could not, I mean, they are awesome. Every single one of them.
Rising stars in the comedy world. You're going to see them in movies someday pretty soon,
yes,
I'm guessing, because they're getting hundreds of thousands,
right,
of hits wherever they go. And yeah, HeadGum, College Humor, it's fun. We're 3 for 3 so far with these interviews. Mike, Wednesday we'll have our final Oscar category overview. We're,
yes,
doing Best Adapted and Original Screenplay. Thursday through Sunday. It's a little up in the air at the moment. We think we have a good plan. Yes. It's on the board, but we got a bunch of things, and we'll see what order they come out in, but we're going to have our final Oscar predictions to help you with your Oscar pool. We're going to finally touch on Cold War and either an OSP data something.
Yes. Where we, the bane of my existence this award season.
Where we hit that up.
Have not gotten out to see it yet.
His name ends in Owski. How are you not hyped?
Because
for
I'm
this?
A bad person.
And we're going to do our MMOs, the Mike and Oscar Award Show.
Yes. So like Mike said, we have a plan. We've laid it out. We hope to stick to it. Weather, illnesses, etc., always being the variables that interrupt our best laid plans. But if you want to go over to our Instagram, at Mike and Oscar over there on Instagram, we have their whiteboard. The infamous whiteboard is up there in promotion of not only this episode, but for this coming week. But like we said, you're getting a new Mike and Oscar episode every day this week.
Yes, so you every have that day, to look forward to. Including the weekend right now, because I didn't even finish. We have MMOW for next Sunday, and we have the recap show of the Oscar. That we're going to stay up until the early morn.
Yeah, Mike and I are going to have a divorce after the time of the 25th.
How much are you going to hate me at the end of the week?
Mike, but that's what's on the immediate horizon. That's what's going on in Mike and Oscar world. That's what's going on in Oscar world and Academy Award world in general. Here we are, though, MMO Weekly, like we usually have. So this is where we're recapping all the news to keep you up to date. And this is a very important one. So let's start right at the top with an Oscar race update, as that's what's kind of important right now.
Yes, sir.
The Oscar goes to...
And the winner is...
And the Oscar goes
to... The winner is...
The Oscar goes to...
MMOW's Oscar Race Update.
So, Mike, they're going to present all 24. We're pretty hyped about this. Kudos to Next Best Picture and all the people that pushed that tagline, that hashtag on the internet for a while. And I think it, you know, made a dent in what ended up happening.
So there was a petition going around. It got so many thousands of signatures. People wanted to present all 24. The Academy actually came out at some point during the week before reneging on this and saying, look, it's not as bad as you guys are making it out to be. We're going to air their acceptance speeches. They're still going to get their time in the sun. It wasn't good enough. My question is, like, look, I don't want to call for anyone's heads here, but if the Academy was a major sports league, or if they did, they had this approach with any, without naming specific names, as I've done on Twitter already, if they had this approach in any other sports league or professional league, wouldn't people be falling on swords right now?
It would make sense in yesteryears.
Right.
However, Mike, I have an alternate theory.
Okay.
I don't know if this is true, but they need ratings, right?
Sure.
Is there such a thing, especially looking at politics nowadays, as bad press?
Any headline is a good headline.
We've been talking about the Oscar broadcast for months, and many people have. We've gotten some big numbers on our Oscar Fix episode with the best popular film. Yeah. And now we've had a couple different controversies with the host situation, to who's going to sing their original songs.
Yeah.
And of course, the editors went wild. The cinematographers went wild. Everybody got very upset when they weren't going to be presented live. And now they are. So the Oscars seem to appease them at the end of the day, making it a longer broadcast at the end of the day. And at the end of the day, maybe they've been in the news for a long time.
Look, if that's the case, they're the smartest guys in the room, because I don't think anybody would actually expect that, because they've just kind of been kind of hurting themselves, I would think, at least in their public image. But good for them for finally, you know, like a referee in a sporting event, you just want to get the right call. So good for them for finally getting to the place they should be at, even though they should have been there the whole time.
They've used us as instant replay, and they've gotten the call right at the end of the day. And we'll see. We'll see how the broadcast goes. If the broadcast is boring and the editor goes up there and thanks everybody in a list that goes on for 5 minutes.
Oh, see, I'm the opposite. This is exactly what the editor should do. Like, they should thumb their nose at the Academy now and just, like, start talking about things that happened when they were children, you know?
The best animated short film winners should just go off on a tangent. Like, they should not leave. They should refuse
to
leave.
Here's my one-man interpretation of Hamlet. Like, right now, I'm going to present for you people. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Again, I'm happy to see this. My question is going to be, the only big change that the Academy seems to be sticking to now, after rolling out so many over the past 16, 17 months, and then bringing them all back in and saying, admitting defeat on every one of them. So now the only change that we're left with is a hard 3 hours, right? Do you think they stick to it?
No, I read something the other day that it's going to go over. And it's impossible.
So nothing changed.
So nothing changed, basically. And Scott's got a theory on that in that interview, so yeah. Listen to it. But nothing really changed. And most of the original songs are going to be sung, I think.
All of them, yeah. They're all going to be sung. And look, every single change they wanted outside of, I guess, which wasn't even a purposeful change, but no host is the only kind of different approach that this Academy Awards is going to have.
Here's the thing. If no host becomes a lot of hosts,
right,
where a lot of people get up there and they really, you know, go off and do a lot of shtick, so who knows? Maybe it goes even longer. Maybe it's almost a four-hour episode again.
Well, if for nothing else, there's rumors that we're going to get a new Avengers Endgame trailer during the Academy Awards, so you can watch for that.
As well, yeah. Bette Midler is going to sing The Place Where Lost Things Go. This is just the spite. You, I think, because you like Bette Midler, you don't like that song.
I don't like that song. I do like Bette Midler. I also don't know why Emily Blunt's not doing it.
I don't know either.
Was she like, she's gonna be there, right?
I don't know. I'm guessing she's gonna be there in full Mary Poppins attire, right,
just sitting next. It should be her sitting next to John Krasinski as Jim from The Office, and they're just cosplaying the whole time.
Please, please.
I'm excited for it. I do love Bette Midler. She's obviously a phenomenal talent, and I don't understand why Emily Blunt's not doing it. I never actually thought Emily Blunt would do it. Ever since they said it's going to be sang by a special guest, mm-hmm. I don't know if they actually had Bette Midler in mind or if they were like, well, Emily Blunt said no, but we already promised all five songs are going to be performed, so we got to fill in the gap here and find someone that'll agree to do this.
I don't know. But I think everybody's happy, though, with
Bette Midler. Why not? As long as all the songs are being performed, I think that's the bottom line.
We glossed over. You just fixed the Oscar rating problem forever. They all show up in character. The actors all show up in character. They're forced to just have this as an acting
exercise.
That would
be amazing.
And that would be brilliant. Like, they have to be costumed.
That would be amazing.
They have to go up, yeah.
I would absolutely sign up. So, like, Christian Bale is like, he's got Dick Cheney has to rush Freddie Mercury and the Best Actor race. And, like, yeah, I'm in.
And they could crash award speeches. It would be phenomenal. That's the perfect fix. Mike, the Best Picture segments at the Academy Awards, they will be presented by celebrity fans telling us how much they love the movies. For example, Serena Williams will present A Star is Born. I think this is kind of cool, no?
Yeah, Christopher Tapley had this on Twitter.
You're so skeptical.
Look, no, I think it's a good idea. I think it's an idea with its heart in the right place. I don't know that it's necessarily going to differentiate itself from how the Best Picture nominees have been presented the last couple years anyway, as they've had their own segments. And my response to that has always been, this isn't necessary. If you're going to look for places to cut down on time or like need to take stuff out so all 24 awards could be presented or all the songs could be performed, why do we need 10 different instances of people coming out, or in this case, obviously 8 different instances of people coming out throughout the night?
Because you can have 8 megastars show up and be there now.
Yeah, that's the easy, and hopefully that's the change. They do have 8 A-listers of A-listers coming out. I would love to see who's going to be doing Bohemian Rhapsody and Vice. If Bohemian Rhapsody, it's got to be Brian May, right? He's got to be the one talking about
it. He's controlled everything thus far. Final nugget here before we get into the WGAs. Oscar voting closes tomorrow.
Yes.
So whatever's in the books is going to be in the books by then. The final campaigns are going out today. We saw a flurry of them all over the trades, everywhere you look. You know.
So all you executives and actors attached to these properties can do your headlong dive into that pile of cocaine that you've been waiting to do for weeks now because the studio told you to keep everything clean, please.
Oh, God. Let's transition into the WGAs now.
So we had a couple big award shows. Nothing like waiting until the last minute. We had the Writer Guilds of America Awards. The Indie Spirits are still to come. Those will be coming out this weekend because people like tormenting pundits such as ourselves. So the WGA Awards were last night, Mike, or 2 days ago. I don't know what day it is.
Yeah, when are we recording? And what day is it? We don't know. Is it a weekday?
Toyota.
The bums lost, the Lebowski, the bums lost. Original screenplay nominees were 8th Grade, Green Book, A Quiet Place, Roma, and Vice, and Bo Burnham of 8th Grade won, Mike.
Rightfully so. We've been on the record. I don't understand why this guy didn't make the Academy field. He had a great reaction. He said, have fun at the Oscars, losers, which made me laugh. Thought that was hilarious.
That was funny.
This is actually the second year in a row now. I thought it was the first time ever. I obviously, it's stupid by me, and I was corrected by a bunch of people on Twitter. Thank you for pointing that out. But second year in a row now, we had somebody that wins not only the WGA Award for Best Original Screenplay, and also won the Best New Director Award. Jordan Peele did it last last year at the DGAs. I don't have any complaints, and I don't understand that people that do, not that I've seen many, but Bo Burnham, this eighth grade movie is as good a job as any directorial job done this year.
The snubs at the Oscars must have helped them a little bit. I'm reading between the lines, doing my pundit thing here, pundit hat on. That being said, I think it's a wide open category at the Oscars. And
sure.
We have fun with that original screenplay category breakdown because, my God, does this say some things about the other nominees?
This hurts Green Book, right? I mean, or at least this shows that Green Book has been hurt.
And it helps The Favorite, which was not
eligible. Sure.
Which was not eligible for this category.
Good point.
Mike, adapted screenplay, the nominees were Black Panther, Black Klansman, Can You Ever Forgive Me, If Beale Street Could Talk, and A Star Is Born. Michael, the winner was Nicole Holofcener and Jeff Witte for Can You Ever Forgive Me? Okay. Question mark forever.
So, two things. One, you have been kind of appreciative of how she took a relatively mundane subject matter and made it so cinematic.
Handing people pieces of paper
became
a good movie.
That's right.
Legitimately good movie, so, even though we gave it some,
of course, issues. The content of it being something kind of different. But Nicole Holofcener, that's a well deserved win.
Mm-hmm.
Also, somebody has just now uncapped a grenade, rolled it into the sixth of our eight major categories on this Sunday at the Oscars, and blown it all to hell, so we don't know what the hell's going on.
If Beale Street Could Talk won Critics' Choice, Black Klansman won BAFTA. We've had this award season just going up and down for a couple different candidates. Black Klansman and Beale Street had associations. They almost had a tie there in terms of all the precursors. So now, out of left field, Can You Ever Forgive Me, which has really won nothing throughout the entire award season, takes this major Guild Award.
You know, we also are at a point now, never mind this category getting blown to hell, because we thought all in the run-up, we thought it was going to be Black Klansman versus Beale Street, and Beale Street is now kind of getting wiped off the map as if it didn't even happen, which is a very sad story in and of itself.
Not enough people are seeing it, and yet again, this is a guild with crossover Academy members not voting for Beale Street. That's happened three times, from the SAGs to the BAFTAs, now adapted screenplay. And I'm sure it's happened more, but those are the three that stick out to me most.
There was a conversation last night on Twitter as to whether this was the first time every guild has given their major awards to a different movie.
Didn't we say this like last year, six, 8 months ago? Like, what if they just screw everything up?
Yeah.
What if all the predictions go to hell because it's too chalk every year at the Oscars and they know that, so they're just going to mix it up and pick stuff all over the map. And they're doing that whether they did it purposely or not.
Mahershala Ali is smiling from ear to ear, knowing that he can sleep well at night on his way to the only guy that's probably that knows he's going to win.
And Cuarón. Cuarón
is
working hard on his victory speeches because he needs to.
But in all reality, those are the big eight Oscar categories now. We have two that are settled. That's usually not the case in most years. Most of these categories are between two and three pictures, not just two.
Right.
There's could go any one way.
Our predictions are going to suck. Mike, the Cinema Audio Society Awards for sound mixing, live action, Bohemian Rhapsody won, A Quiet Place, A Star Is Born, Black Panther, First Man also in there. Animated Isle of Dogs beat Incredibles 2, Ralph, Spider-Verse, and The Grinch. Documentary, we had Free Solo beating Fahrenheit 11.9, Quincy, They'll Love Me When I'm Dead, and Won't You Be My Neighbor. I'll have a review of Fahrenheit 11.9 a little bit later. So Bohemian Rhapsody, Isle of Dogs, Free Solo come away with sound mixing awards.
Bohemian Rhapsody is a little surprising.
Yeah.
If you're going to reward that, wouldn't you reward A Star Is Born? Just because it's basically doing the same thing and a little more polished, it seems.
But I just rewatched Bohemian Rhapsody, and the sound is pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, that third act is really special. It's really something unique. I understand it.
Audio goods delivered. Yeah. That's high up there for me. I can't really begrudge it too much. Makes some sense. I just, hopefully that's not a tip that Bohemian Rhapsody is going to shock us all.
Win all the sound categories you want.
Makes sense. Mike, the Makeup Artists and Hairstylists Guild Award winners are for Best Contemporary Makeup, A Star Is Born, over Beautiful Boy, Boy Erased, Crazy Rich Asians, Welcome to Marwen, and Widows. Best Contemporary Hairstyling, Crazy Rich Asians won there over Napoli Ever After, A Star Is Born, Widows, and Vox Lux. Best Period and or Character Makeup was Vice over Stan and Ollie, Mary Queen of Scots, Mary Poppins Returns, Bohemian Rhapsody. And Best Period and or Character Hairstyling, Mary Queen of Scots won over Poppins, Bo Rap, Black Klansman, Black Panther, and I got one more, and best special makeup effects, Vice over Stan and Ollie, Black Panther, Buster Scruggs, and Aquaman, Mike, that is it again, Vice, Mary Queen of Scots, Vice again, Crazy Rich Asians, and A Star is Born, winning makeup and hairstyling.
What is a makeup effect?
I don't know.
What does that mean? Like, does you put a green screen on your face?
Motion capture?
Yeah, I don't understand that.
Is it a makeup effect when the hairline is settled?
That's, I
because the hair styling is like, there's hair there, and you style it, but when you create a whole new hairline, and it's not just a bald cap, but you do it brilliantly.
Yeah,
know.
There you go. All right.
Like you de-mustache Henry Cavill.
Right, is that it?
Is that one?
Or like if Rami Malek didn't put the fake choppers in for his overbite of Freddie Mercury and it was just digitally enhanced instead?
Is it the orange peel in the mouth from Godfather with Marlon Brando? We can go all day on this because we've seen some actors do some kooky things.
So...
But
my takeaway
effects. Those aren't.
Yeah, I don't understand it, but we're also not makeup industry people. So my takeaway from this is that best contemporary makeup going to A Star is Born, does that not feel like a bit of a troll job? Like kind of mocking how A Star is Born has done this award season.
Well, all the Gaga stuff was pretty good. You know, Sam Elliott, I don't get why he factors into any makeup or hairstyle. I don't get why Bradley Cooper
trimmed
does.
His mustache.
Like what else? What else than
yeah,
than
that's what
Lady
I mean.
Gaga?
Like Lady Gaga was spectacular because she always looks spectacular, but even in a lot of her most impactful scenes, she's given that au naturel look, which
right,
maybe was
normal.
Some makeup that we're just two dudes and don't see anyway.
I will say this, talking to the makeup artists, the hairstyling artists on a movie set,
yeah.
They're like the most fun people to talk to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I think this is cool that they have all these, you know, five awards here. I don't get why Crazy Rich Asians didn't win two there over.
Yeah, that's
Star
what
Trek.
I mean. I don't see that either. But.
The hairstyling with the super poof of Mary Queen of Scots
sure.
is pretty phenomenal.
You get
though.
That. You understand that.
The bald cap that is to the nth degree mwah, of, you know, the Dick Cheney there.
Yeah, this is a big category, a big award segment for you.
How do we go?
You got to get invited to this next
7 year. Minutes on that, I guess.
Well, right. You are like the king of the bald cap, the hairline, the
yes.
makeup. This
yes,
is your
cuz I need
butter.
To suspend my disbelief. And if I see Woody Harrelson in that LBJ movie again, I am just nothing but disbelief. So I need to buy in. I like to escape. Fantasy is my reality. That's why we do this.
That Mike, should have been our tagline.
Mike, Motion Picture of Sound Editors Awards, Outstanding Achievement in Sound Editings. These are all Outstanding Achievement in Sound Editings. Feature Documentary, Free Solo, and They Will Not Grow Old, Tide.
They Will Not Grow Old is getting a lot of momentum lately.
Yeah, except for getting nominated
right.
where it's supposed to.
Which blows...
Morgan Neville, he's the top of his game.
Weird. Weird award season. Up and down the card, weird award season.
He's won a bunch of Oscars, and he should have been nominated this year for Won't You Be My Neighbor. Best Achievement in Sound Editing, Foreign Language Film, Roma won. So they had a lot of, you know, background noise there that they did a good job with.
I don't think people watched those nominees. And they were like, oh, Roma's winning.
Were they on their laptop and listening, though? Perhaps. Music score, Mike. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse wins for music score. That's cool, huh?
The Post Malone song's really good. I don't think that's what they're rewarding, though.
I don't know what they're rewarding.
Yeah.
But the music
score,
was fun.
The score, right? The score of the song. But... It doesn't give us nominees. Right. We just have the winner.
I had vibrating seats for that movie, and I was enjoying myself. I don't know what that means.
Should I start like playing Marvin Gaye here? Or?
I don't know what that means. Mike, musical best achievement in sound editing, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Again, I would have preferred A Star is Born, but they're in the industry. I'm not, so okay.
They also won for dialogue. Is that a Freddie Mercury impression at work for
no,
you?
No, that was bad.
Oh, God.
That, I don't know how anyone... Whether you're just talking about the sound or the clarity of the audio waves,
right.
can reward dialogue for Bohemian Rhapsody in any manner.
Yeah,
that seems
sense.
To be a bit much for my liking. But,
the favorite,
okay.
they're yelling, they're screaming, they're puking, they're singing, they're doing a lot more audio,
right.
you know, editing, right there.
Well, Vice, I mean, good Lord, they got to switch from contemporary conversation to old English Shakespeare and back and forth, so, and make it clear. I don't know.
And finally, effects and sound editing went to A Quiet Place.
Sure, that makes sense.
That does make sense.
I mean, that's the whole point of the movie, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. A little catch up on the Grammys here. Best pop duo went to Shallow, Bradley Cooper, and Lady Gaga, Mike.
It was interesting. Gaga showed up to accept the award. Cooper was over in the BAFTAs getting passed over again at another big precursor show.
Yeah.
She made a point to say that. They performed Shallow live.
Right.
Gaga went back to her being weird on stage roots, which I sort of appreciated, but
she was she was foot stomping,
yeah,
and fist pumping and rocking out before the song really picked up, which was, yeah, a little weird to me.
She's
I wonder if her next album's gonna be just a rock album.
She's a weirdo, dude. I love her. She's awesome.
If Metallica does the music and Gaga sings the songs,
you go. I'm down.
I'm in for that, right?
But again, Bradley Cooper wasn't there, so they had, like, Mark Ronson, they had this collective kind of fill in and sing his parts, and Bradley Cooper is a big part of that song.
Absolutely.
He really is. I mean, that Jackson Maine character makes it, you know, it's not totally responsible because Gaga has the big falsettos and the big runs, but Bradley Cooper is intricate to Shallow being the hit that it is.
But she's otherworldly, right?
Oh,
with how she hit those notes.
She
hit every note almost pitch perfect.
Yeah.
I couldn't get over her performance.
Yeah, she's one of the best live singers,
my God,
ever, I think.
Best compilation soundtrack. I think their calendar's a bit askew in terms of their, you know, nominations. The Greatest Showman won over Deadpool 2, etc.
I'm just happy that The Greatest Showman gets the last laugh over Coco after all this time.
This is a big one, though. Best score soundtrack went to Ludwig Göransson from Black Panther over Blade Runner, Shape of Water, Coco, and Last Jedi, Mike. Those are some winners from last year. So
sure,
this is like the 2-year award for Black Panther?
Yeah, I don't know where the year starts and stops for the Grammys, but that's pretty cool to see Black Panther get recognized. We're on the lookout to see if all the stars would upset Lady Gaga's Shallow in any of the two shared categories that they had there. It didn't happen, but okay.
And we had Best Song, Shallow over All the Stars, Mystery of Love, Remember Me, This Is Me. This is Best Song in a Motion Picture or something.
Shallow over Remember Me is kind of impressive from a musical standpoint.
Sure.
There. But yeah, Shallow's going to win. This isn't really a surprise.
This kind of solidifies it, right?
Yeah.
You know, going middle of the Oscar voting, you have the Grammys, or the beginning of the Oscar mm-hmm. voting, you have the Grammys, and Shallow's awarded a couple times, and Gaga gives that performance, and that basically
that was the only the only part that could have caused intrigue was if Black Panther, if All the Stars upset Shallow in one of these. Maybe some Oscar pundits and some voters, Academy members, look at that and say, well, obviously the Grammys know what they're talking about with music. Let's vote for All the Stars since it beat Shallow here. At the musical performance, it'll win Best Original Song. Shallow is a dynamo, man. We've said it ever since we heard it. It's like one of the best original songs
in a
ever.
Yeah. We would pick it over a lot.
Without question. So it's rightfully going to be crowned.
That was category review.
In the award season where nothing has made sense or been consistent, we need like the one thing. So
we do need a binky, a blankie. We need a security
comfort,
blanket.
Yeah.
We need a little
We should
comfort.
Have, I'll tell you what, Shallow should be performed at the Oscars by Mahershala Ali. And that'll be like the one.
Directed by Alfonso Cuarón.
Right. That'll be the one thing we all understand
we
is
know
happening.
This is happening. Yeah. We can plan for it. The Avengers may show up at any point elsewhere, but now we know. Michael, we're going to do some 6 degrees of MMO now.
Sure. Let's do a little audience interaction stuff. So we slide into 6 degrees. Last week, we presented you with a challenge of our first non-human entity being out there and for you to link up and give you your best chance to, I should say. We wanted you to go from Bo Burnham, who was nominated at the WGAs and now has since, like we just talked about, won the best original screenplay
prophetic.
At the WGAs. Oh, God, we're great. We wanted you to connect Bo Burnham to the character of the Grinch.
Any version of the
yes.
Grinch you wanted. Movie Geek and Proud started us off at MGMP Podcast on Twitter. Bo Burnham is in We Bear Bears.
I don't know what that is.
Me neither, but
I need to watch it.
They're youngins, and they know they watch Cartoon
they're
Network.
They're cool and hip.
They're cool and hip. Hip. Bobby Moynihan is in We Bear Bears.
Yes.
Bobby Moynihan with Bo Burnham, that is. Bobby Moynihan is in The Awesomes with Maya Rudolph. So the SNL people are just hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
Maya Rudolph is in Big Mouth with Jenny Slate. I love Big Mouth so much. It's so funny. Jenny Slate is in Zootopia with Idris Elba. He plays, I think, the tiger. He's a great voice actor. My
he
God.
He is. He's phenomenal.
Idris Elba is also in Finding Dory. again, voice actor extraordinaire. Mm-hmm. He's in there with Albert Brooks. Albert Brooks is in The Secret Life of Pets with Rashida Jones, who is in The Grinch 2018.
There you go. That's nice and easy, very clean. And
a lot of voice actors.
Introduced us to a new show. I have to watch We Bare Bear. If Bo Burnham and Bobby Moynihan are in that show together, that's got to be the funniest show of all time.
But those are all cartoons,
yes.
Which is amazing.
Very well done. So, I'm always impressed by our listeners here and the change that they give us. They always seem to come up with stuff that we aren't expecting. Mark Burgundy can go on there at the One Hansen, H-A-N-S-E-N there. Bo was in Hall Pass with Alexandra Daddario, who of course was in True Detective with Woody Harrelson, who was in Cheers with guest appearances by Christopher Lloyd, who was in Back to the Future with Crispin Glover, who was in Charlie's Angels with Tim Curry, who semi-played the Grinch in Home Alone 2. Yeah, I love that one.
I like that because at the end, you had that, we just reviewed Home Alone 2, you had the Grinch, you know, the huge smile with Tim Curry's smile. Bingo.
I had no idea where he was going with that either. It's like you're getting a little far afield here, man. But it's great job bringing it all together.
Like Christmas. And then we have the cross cut. I love that cross cut so much. Noi La George at LANOI_24 said Bo was in that one episode of Parks and Rec.
He was with
Chris Pratt, who was in Infinity War with Benedict Cumberbatch, who was in The Grinch 2018.
Every week we get someone who, like, I feel like we're just annoying by asking the question. And they're like, look, you idiots, there's two chains. Why are you bothering me? Let me go back to my life.
Bing, bang, boom. Here you go.
Noyla George, great job there. Rob at ROBAC1142. Burnham directed Elsie Fisher in 8th grade, obviously, who was in Despicable Me with Steve Carell. Steve Carell was in Bruce Almighty with Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey himself obviously playing the live-action version of The Grinch.
Yes, sir. Robert Doherty at Robert Doc.
Frequent flyer.
1984 said, Burnham directed Josh Hamilton in 8th grade, who's in American Horror Story Coven with Sarah Paulson, who's in Ocean's 8 with Sandra Bullock, who's in Bird Box with B.D. Wong, who's in Jurassic World with Chris Pratt, who's in Infinity War with Cumberbatch, who's in the new Grinch.
I tried giving Robert Doc here some props. I'm like, I don't even think you left film year 2017. And he had to go correct me and be like, well, actually, it's the old season of American Horror Stories from like 2013. There's other ones in there. I'm like, come on, man. Let me praise you like I should, like Fat Boy Slim here.
Yeah, we had a Rob doing a short one, a Rob doing a long one. Mike, now we have Yasna,
another frequent flyer. We might have to host a tournament at some point, maybe in March, for all these people. Nebis Ben, Robert Doc, Yasna's at YCAVIERES. Bo Burnham was in Hall Pass, like we already said, directed by Bobby and Peter Farrelly, who directed Green Book, starred by Viggo Mortensen, nominated for leading actor at the 72nd BAFTAs.
I love
speaking
this.
To us. Hosted by Joanna Lumley, who herself was in Absolutely Fabulous the Movie in 2016, with Wanda Ventham, who is Benedict Cumberbatch's mother. And by the way, he was the Grinch in 2018.
Probably our winner
That's
today.
Awesome.
Probably our winner today because there's a mother, there's a host of the BAFTAs, and that just speaks to us.
Yes.
So we're going to see. We got a few more contenders here before we make our final call. The Shmave 29 at the Shmave 29. He is your brother, your older brother, Bo Burnham.
This like makes his week too. He can't get enough. Like he gets so giddy once he listens to MMOW. He calls me all the time. He's like, try this one.
He does a great job. Yes, and look at this one. This is awesome. This is a major contender. Bo Burnham cameoed in an episode of Parks and Recreation, season 6, episode 18, which he watched on the day of our Lord, 2019.
Very, very precise with this.
I totally derailed this, I think. Bo Burnham cameoed in Parks and Rec. The very next episode of Parks and Rec, season 6, episode 19, had a cameo of Henry Winkler, who was in Happy Days with Ron Howard, who directed How the Grinch Stole
That's
Christmas.
That's a good one.
And he says, come at me, bro. Directed to you. Meta joke, it works.
That's a really good one. That's a really good chain. That's
pleasing
very creative.
Pleasing the judges, Mike.
Carl De Los Santos at KARL_DELO. Bo Burnham was in The Big Sick, which was directed by Michael Showalter, who co-wrote Wet Hot American Summer, of course, which starred Molly Shannon, who was, of course, in How the Grinch Stole Christmas back in 2000 there.
Movies we really like, Big Sick. I love Showalter. Wet Hot American Summer is like my anthem,
yes,
song and movie. Yasna came back. Bo Burnham was in Rough Night with Scarlett Jo, who was in The Avengers with Mark Ruffalo, who was in Spotlight with Billy Crudup, who was in Big Fish. Fish with Ewan McGregor, who is in Attack of the Clones, barf, with Christopher Lee, who is in Curse of the Grimson Altar, 1968, with Boris Karloff, who starred in How the Grinch Stole Christmas, 1966. So I am impressed with those last few.
That's really, really good. That's some impressive. Good stuff going back in time there.
How does your brain work that way?
Is it possible Yasna really is like very familiar with Grimson Altar? And it's like, oh, this is going to be easy.
Yeah, Christopher Lee, Grimson Altar. She's got a Grimson Altar poster on
the
wall.
That has to be an IMDb deep dive, and we appreciate the effort if it was. Mike, who wins this week?
I'm saying your brother wins, but God. I think you're going to say Yasna wins, so I think we have co-winners this week.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do the Shmave winning again. That'll make his week, and maybe he can stop calling me. And we'll do Yasna with the mother connection to Benedict Cumberbatch. Amazing. So perfect.
Amazing. And your brother went two cameos in back-to-back episodes.
That was a very, very, very good job.
That's a great job.
Very good job by him. So those are the winners this week for 6 Degrees of MMO. We have a special request for you guys. And we actually need your help going into the Mike, and Oscars awards show that'll be airing at some point in the latter half of this week.
You've done a great job already. We have at least 15 categories that we're going to use. But basically, Mike put it out there that we make up a lot of the categories for the MMOs in previous years. We both did it, and it was hard.
Yes.
And it was fun. It was hard.
We don't want to do it anymore. No.
But we're putting out 8 episodes in 8 days or 9 episodes in 9 days for you. So you've come through already. I've already programmed most of that show, the MMOs, with a lot of your stuff. So, yes, we are going to pick the Oscar categories. We're going to go back and forth between those Oscar categories and us giving our top fives and our picks for winners. Mm-hmm. We're going to go back and forth with your categories, which are the fun ones. So you're behind the entertainment this week in our yearly show. And like I said, I can't wait to dive into making my picks for all your categories that you've given us so far. You got a couple days left.
Yes.
You got at least 2 days left where you can give us those categories for us to put into the show. We're going to put as many as we can in. It's going to be a long episode. Mike wants to kill me, but it should be good. We'll also do our top 10 films of the year.
It's on all our social medias right now. They can be as serious a category or as funny and stupid a category as you want. And you don't need to give us nominees. We just want to hear your voices.
But if you want to give us nominees.
Sure, of course. If you want to, go ahead. We want to know what you want to hear from us, basically. Give us a category, an Oscar-style category. And again, it could be, best actor eating that was mid-bite. Or something like that. We don't care. We just want to know what you want to hear. Again, as serious or as silly as you want, we don't mind.
But they've also done some great ones that really, encapsulate the entire film year. So, what you're doing right now works. Just keep it up and program our show and write our show for us, please.
And like we said, the Mike, and Oscar Awards show, they're annual. We did them last year for the first time. Mm-hmm. They're going to be out this week. We're planning on having those out Saturday, the 23rd. So right before going into the Oscar Sunday.
We're going to record it like Wednesday or Thursday. So FYI, if you want to get those in.
Be a couple days ahead of schedule there. But we need your help. We want to know what you guys think. We want to hear from you. And we want to help you. We want to answer what you want to hear from us. So we want to give you your due for being a valued listener and a loyal listener as well.
Yes, well, we're also going to have an MMOW, we think, for Sunday, or at least the next MMOW. You need that next 6 Degrees of MMO challenge.
Yes.
So here, we'll give that to you now.
So we wanted to include Spike Lee in one of these running up to the Oscars because it's such a historic, him being nominated and all, and we wanted to celebrate, and we're hoping that he does come away with a little gold statue finally after all these years, long overdue. So we wanted to include Spike Lee, so definitely going to have Spike Lee as one half of this equation, too, Michael.
And it's going to Joanna Kulig, who is impossible to connect anything to. And we are finally going to stump our audience. We hope.
Can't wait until they've worked together in some film from the late 90s.
One of the Buscemi brothers was in, this Polish movie, and that's it. People nail us for that. But let's go, Nebis Ben. Let's go, Yasna. Let's go, Robert Doc. This is a tough one, Shmave. Let's see what you got. Joanna Kulig, star of Cold War and Spike Lee, hopefully an Oscar winner next Sunday night.
Yeah, there you go. That's your next challenge for 6 Degrees of MMO. And let's transition now, Mike. Let's talk about what we have been watching. And we're going to also hit on some of the shorts that are not Oscar nominated for this year as well here.
Do I have to do it?
D- Oh, yes. I didn't know what you were talking about. You were staring at me very awkwardly for a second. But yes, go ahead, please.
It's what we're watching.
I like you added a little more dialogue to this one, too. It's an Oscars week special of what we're watching intro theme that Mike laid on us live and in color every week. Mike?
My self-esteem is low. Fahrenheit 11-9, and this is a reason why my self-esteem is low. Fahrenheit 11-9 by Michael Moore. Look, I take back everything I said. I think he's right on. I think he's he made a great documentary here. It is an entertaining documentary. It also is a documentary basically, you know, prophesying that the world is going to end.
Sure.
That the American way of life is over.
Accurate.
That the Flint water crisis is, in fact...
It's been like a decade, and they still have yellow water. It's disgusting.
And it is, in fact, indicative of our entire society. I felt very bad for him and for everybody in Flint there. And he also gives it to the Democrats as much as he gives it to the Republicans. So that's why...
That's good to hear.
That's why he wins me over in this, because I've been kind of, you know, skeptical of a lot of politicians for years. I'm kind of in between. That's mm-hmm. why I'm in between. I'm not just skeptical of, you know, big government, but I'm also skeptical of corporate, you know, corruption.
You're just skeptical of people.
Just skeptical of people, and I will be in a bunker in my latter years.
Yeah, it's not a bad way to go, to be honest, because there's a lot of things to be skeptical of, and it seems like the more people that are come to power in one way or another seem to be abusive with it.
Yeah. On Amazon Prime there. Mike Scotti and the Secret of Hollywood. I believe it's on Stars On Demand right now. A frustrating doc, because this guy was a pimp to all the stars, all the gay and lesbian stars. Hmm. Back in Hollywood's heyday there for in the 40s, 50s, 60s, this is the pimp who secretly gave them hookers and prostitutes and tricks.
Huh.
In one sense, it kept those people from having to, you know, go in shadier circles, right?
Sure.
From going into the parks, from getting caught, from having their careers ruined.
Yeah.
And the service provided them with, you know, a necessary outlet like everybody needs. Bottom line, it provided them with a way to stay in the closets more safely than they would have needed. But at the same time, you're still selling people like pieces of meat.
Right. That's disgusting.
To me, they interviewed a lot of the tricks in their latter years. And they had glowing things to say about this man, how they made so much money, how they're so happy. I don't necessarily know if the documentary interviewed, you know, the people whose lives were ruined.
Oh, shit.
Jumped off bill. I don't know. But this is a moral issue that is deep and confusing. Like, because you want to, you know, cheer for all these people in Hollywood who had to deal with such persecution.
Sure.
But you also don't want to cheer for their pimp.
Of course not, no.
WTF. So, fascinating documentary. I think the storytellers are a bit torn as well, so that's why it made it all the more fascinating. Those are the only two movies I watched this week other than Oscar noms. Obviously, I'm loving True Detective and Crashing, which I stayed up way too late to watch last night.
I have to start watching that. I love Crashing. Seasons 1 and 2 were hilarious,
good.
But I haven't gotten into them yet.
Mike, before we get into the short films that we watched, anything you watched?
I have stuff for this week. Rewatch The Star Is Born. I don't remember if that was this week or last week, but it's
all blended.
So it really is. The days just keep going by, as The Offspring once were saying. The Greatest Showman I watched, that's not a great movie.
You finally watched it.
I did.
Did you like the music? You like This Is Me?
Yeah, of course. The music is great. Zendaya's great. Zac Efron has my heart.
Have you been singing any other song, though?
No.
Okay.
No, just This Is Me and also a lot of Blink-182, which has nothing to do with the movie. It's just what I've been singing. I watched The Price is Right, The Perfect Bid, that documentary that's on Amazon Prime.
Oh, cool.
They really try. It's like the guy that has been to a billion Price is Right tapings and he actually ended up giving a contestant that made it to the finale the perfect bid. He hit it right on the nose. They really try to like make it more of a thing than it is. But there's just not a lot there to like dramatize. It's really just a guy that's a total nerd about The Price is Right that got it right, which is an amazing story.
Sure.
But there's not a whole lot of like, probably, oh my goshness there.
Yeah, he probably studies a lot of, prices.
They get into that. He makes his own
And he finally got one right because he goes on the shows.
Yeah, so good for him. He doesn't see any fruits of the labor, though, because he was helping a guy that actually got the price right. But interesting watch.
Did he go on the show himself before? Was he picked before?
Yes.
And how'd he do?
One time.
Well, that's a spoiler.
One time he actually made it, but he's been to like 60 tapings over the career, and he got famous a couple times. retirement from it and blah, blah, blah. It's really like he's been his life's work, which is pretty impressive, actually. I mean, he's like, he's made computer programs to help him remember prices. It really is fascinating stuff. But as far as the actual drama of the event, there's not a whole lot there beyond what we saw play out in real time. Rewatched Green Book. Boy, do I have a problem with some of the scenes in that movie.
It gets worse, doesn't it?
It does not age well, and I've only seen it a couple months apart.
Well, it's a river-wide movie, so it makes sense.
It's not good, doesn't go man. Deep enough. It does not belong in the Best Picture category. I hate to talk so negatively about it, but God, is that not the Best Picture category? It shouldn't be a nominee. The Secret in Their Eyes, I finally watched. I was intrigued by
it. You watched the wrong one.
I did. I was intrigued by it when it came out a couple years ago. Julia Roberts, Chiwetel Ejiofor. There's big names in it.
I couldn't make it through it, I'll be honest with you. The remake.
Billy Ray's the director. I like his work.
Yeah.
This was not good.
Not good.
No.
Julia Roberts is going for it, too.
She is. That's sad. I wonder, too, if she may have... The ending would have played better. I'm not going to spoil it, obviously. The ending would have played better, though, if she wasn't... trying, like, the film wasn't trying to make her seem like such a sympathetic character. So I wonder if she had that written in that she didn't want to be all... You'll see, if you watch it, you'll see what I mean, but...
I love the Spanish version, so did the Academy. They picked it Best Foreign Film.
Yeah,
it's Oscar, intrigued me. And it's unfortunate.
Yeah, not great. So I spent a lot of time rewatching some old Oscar stuff, watching some new stuff that didn't really tickle too many fancies of mine, unfortunately. But
you have more than one fancy.
I have all sorts of fancies.
Our metaphors are getting weirder and weirder.
Let's talk about some shorts. I was able to take in... I don't know, 5, 6, 7 of them total.
All right, cool.
But let's go through them. These are Oscar nominated, a lot of the different shorts categories. Mike, what do we got?
Yeah, on Netflix right now, Endgame, we've already reviewed this on a Netflix quarterly about hospice care at the end of life. It's very sad and intense, but worthwhile.
I don't mean to make a joke or try to make levity of the situation, but Scott Feinberg did tweet out that without naming specifics, how watching the shorts is just like a practice in abject sadness and depression.
It is tough.
Yeah.
And I am surprised at which category depressed me more.
Yeah, I'll get to that in a second. I gotcha. Yeah.
Black Sheep on Amazon Prime or Animom Prime.
Animorphs. It was a book series and TV
sad,
show.
Scary. Definitely thought it was going one way and then it goes an entirely different direction. So props to the storytelling there. Powerful story and a powerful story turn.
Good.
Crazy that as I've
yeah,
seen
those
it
were two while. I'm sorry, Black Sheep, I'm sorry, was one I didn't get to yet, and Period of an End of Sentence I hadn't seen yet, but you did.
That was terrific. That was on Netflix, so Netflix, Amazon, Netflix so far. Unbelievable. Women in India, the fact that they still don't have tampons out there as pads, it's just insane.
Absolutely disgusting.
And that's a premise for the story, and basically all these like startup businesses are creating them now.
Good.
Which is wonderful,
thank God.
But it's ridiculous, and I can't believe this still exists in the world. They're in the stay for the credits, because there's something in those credits that just blow your mind, make you feel good.
Check that
and
out.
This is a horrifying documentary, but the story also makes you feel good somehow. So
I
liked it.
And it seeps into American culture, too. The way that we just take human beings and human lives for granted sometimes is really just irresponsible and just gross.
Mike, you saw A Night at the Garden, which is on their website.
You want to talk about scary. My God.
Yes.
How about Madison Square Garden playing host to the American Nazi Party rally in 1939?
So this is before World War II.
It was like 6 months before Hitler invaded Poland, they said.
So this is so obvious that they are trying to create Nazi support in America.
Yeah. And it was, they said 20,000 people came into MSG just like a Knicks home game.
And they give us a figurehead, or them a figurehead of George Washington. It's the national anthem.
God.
It's the Pledge of Allegiance, but it's Nazi party themed.
It's really something weird. Ultra conservatism seems to always veil itself behind these like trigger words like patriotic, American. They really try to like brand themselves as that when the reality is it's very exclusionary and anti-American on its face. And this was no different. Yeah.
That culminates in this doc.
Yeah. And it's a quick doc. It's a quick watch. They do have it on their website.
7 minutes.
A 7 minute watch. Not a lot of audio, not a lot of voiceover, I should say.
Right.
There's some audio in it, but man, it's scary.
It's scary. Watch it. Mike, Lifeboat is on YouTube right now, and I think through the New Yorker magazine?
Yeah, I think that sounds right, is where I watched it. It's basically about these people coming over in these lifeboats, basically coming from trying to get towards Rome and towards Europe.
Yeah.
They, I mean, watching these things is
refugees, essentially.
Yeah, they are literally packed onto these tiny floating vessels, and they had to be like 100 people or 50 people deep to this like 8x8 little floating square.
Some were from Syria going to Great Britain, I thought.
It's over in here. It's not addressing the American immigration issues that are going on, but it's very obviously, it translates very easily, and it's just these guys that have made it their life's work to kind of play middlemen and help these floating carpets, essentially, of full of people, getting them to safety and trying to parse out the women and children and make sure everyone survives, giving them life jackets. Really, really quite amazing stuff.
And they don't have enough room on their boats, but they do go back and forth. And they're literally outside of enemy waters, you know, just going back and forth across this quote-unquote perimeter to help these people. Just amazing over there in European waters. Mike, we have Fav on YouTube. This is a hell of a story. It's done very quickly. I think there's a lot of metaphors going on. Basically, two French little boys are playing, and then they get into some trouble.
Yeah, that's kind of the only way to describe it without giving it away, right? It's trouble we all thought we would encounter when we were kids.
Right?
And they actually do.
Mike, I was yelling at the screen.
Yeah, it's harrowing.
Many times during this short. I loved it. I think there's metaphors involved. I got some theories, but I'm not going to do it now because it'll be spoilers. But I thought they did a terrific job. I want to see the rest of those live action shorts before the end of the week.
A live action short about Brett Favre, which I thought it was.
That's a terrible joke, but I laughed hard. Mike, we both saw the animated short films. We saw Bao before
this
Incredibles 2.
This is a factory of sadness.
It is. I never thought the animated shorts would make me cry.
My lord, is this depressing.
The documentary shorts, which I tend to avoid till last in award season, they hyped me up. They made me feel,
There was underpinnings of hope attached to all of them.
Some hope, exactly. But Bao just ruined me back when we saw Incredibles 2. Both of us loved it, even though it just ruined us. It broke us. Mike, first up, we watched Weekends, which is on YouTube.
It's an absolutely soul-crushing short. It's absolutely just so sad.
It is sad. However, the creativity on display, especially the dream sequence, all the sequences, I loved it. I thought it was a great montage. I'm thrilled with the storytelling of this. You're right. It makes you want to just lay down in a dumpster.
Great
somewhere.
Sound too, editing and mixing wise, creating those sounds and having there's a horse involved at one point. It's really, really well done.
I loved it, but it is sad, no question. Animal Behavior, also on YouTube right now. This was kind of funny, and it had its moments. Made me laugh a lot. It's crazy storytelling, but it's basically, you know, animals in therapy. It's like a world.
I mean, it's literal animals. Literally, it's a therapy session hosted by a dog. A
lot of metaphors.
They're supposed to be the most curious and knowledgeable. Yeah,
a lot of metaphors there, and it just made us laugh. Yeah, I'm an animal lover.
It's a much needed reprieve from the rest of this category.
Oh, yeah.
As well, because there are moments of genuine hilarity there, but then we go back to something like Late Afternoon, and my God.
Late Afternoon made me cry. Legitimately, the first time. I lost it. It broke me, Mike.
Yeah.
It broke me in half, but my God, is it beautiful. What an imagination here. Love the animation. Love the fact some of the things they're doing, like with the characters, the different characters are animated differently. Like one doesn't have a neck and you realize why. And it's just pretty amazing. The ending, it really culminates well. It's magical. It's heartbreaking. Great job.
If the Academy actually does take these in, this category in, this animated short, this is going to be tough to reward.
It's tough because Bao's phenomenal. Yeah. And it has the goods in terms of the animation. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's millions of dollars. And then these other ones are like hand-drawn. But this one's beautiful.
No, absolutely.
The metaphors and creativity on display.
One Small Step was the last one that we took in, the last one here about this. It has to do with a young girl becoming a woman and trying to achieve her dreams.
Yeah,
this one was like the most hopeful. It was sad still, but it had its hope and it had a cute message at the end of it about inspiration.
High level animation here too. It looked like a major studio doing this. I don't know who did it, but like I said, father daughter story. These are killers though, because these are sad.
This is a murderer's row of a parade of misery.
They're emotional, all of them. I mean, I'm just like breathing in like that for most of this.
They're on YouTube. You can go check them out for yourself, but tread lightly, man. Have some issues nearby.
Yes, sir.
Let's get in and start wrapping things up here. Two segments left. Trailer Thoughts is next.
Trailer Thoughts!
All right, trailer thoughts. We're a little late to the party on this one. It's been out for a little bit, but Aladdin had another trailer drop during the Grammys.
Look, I rewatched the original 1992 film.
It's the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
I saw your gif.
It's not a gif. It's the truth.
I liked your gif because
Thank you
basically
you.
Put Will Smith's head on the Stay Puft.
So that's the extent of my Photoshop abilities. Yes.
Thank you for getting to your gif very first time.
That's what he is. I don't even know how. Listen, in my mind, Disney rolled this out as like the same way that Warner Brothers did with Tom Hardy's Bane voice.
Right.
Because this cannot be the final cut. You can't. They had to have rolled this out because it was a trailer that had no promotion. Mm-hmm. I don't think people knew it was coming out during the Grammys, and it was a 1 minute one. It wasn't this big setup. They kind of just had the reveal, and I think they're going to base the public's reaction on whether or not they need to edit things, and they need to edit this.
They need to edit this. Jafar looks so goofy.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
I know that's an impossible
sure.
cartoon to, you know, just
bring
adapt
to life,
into
yeah.
live action. Like, you need to get the most distinctive face ever. You need to get, like, Willem Dafoe to do it, but, you know, not a white dude. So,
right. I don't
bottom
even
line
know
is,
who,
it's
I'm
impossible.
Trying to think. Diego Luna, maybe someone? I don't know, but look. This shouldn't be done. Maybe Disney just shouldn't do live. I understand they're big money makers and people want to see them. Lion King is something everyone's really looking forward to. Maybe that can be the one that knocks out of the park. But have you been blown away by any live action animated remake?
No, not really. Blown away. I like The Jungle Book. That was probably the best one so far.
Okay.
The effects are pretty
this
great.
This is bad, man.
This trailer got me to rewatch the original, and I got to...
Which is a great movie.
...relive all that music. And I like the oversized orchestra blaring Friend Like Me in both trailers.
I do, too.
That's cool.
I do, too. I think that's cool. A nice touch. I also don't buy into the fact that, like, they shouldn't remake it because how can anyone be the genie only Robin Williams? Yeah, you know, I bet...
No, Will Smith could totally do it.
Exactly.
He just can't do it as the Stay Puft Marshmallow.
Oh, my Lord. That looks so bad. That looks so... That looked like if you and I ever found out a way to, like, get our hands on video editing software and we wanted to put Will Smith in
right.
I don't know. What's blue?
How can you fuck up...
Avatar.
How can you fuck up $30 million of your budget?
Good God. Right? Yeah, I hope they recut that or re-edit it or do whatever they need to because that's going to be tough to swallow if that's our final product with the live-action Aladdin. Well, another one, Mike.
Frozen 2 and Wow.
How is this the same company? How do we get the visuals in the Frozen 2 trailer that we both had to question ourselves, is this animated? This looks like a real life recording.
When the trailer starts, I'm like, are they just on a beach at
right.
night?
And then...
Alfonso Cuarón shot this?
We have this pillar of animation that shows how far we are able to come with technology. against the genie in Aladdin that looks... just bad.
It looks
so
bad.
I mean, this Frozen trailer is breathtaking.
Breathtaking. I had goosebumps throughout the trailer with the music and the visuals and the cartoon characters that I want to get to know.
Yeah, it looks awesome, but the first Frozen was awesome.
I didn't see Frozen 1 still.
I have the two little children in my life that my niece and nephew, and they were in love with it, my niece especially. So I've seen Frozen's a great movie.
I'll be watching it soon.
So I'm looking forward to that. I'm equally as forward to Frozen 2 after seeing that preview as I am very worried about the live-action Aladdin after seeing their trailer.
Agreed. And I didn't even see Frozen 1 yet. That's amazing. That's an amazing trailer. That's as good as it gets. Mike Tolkien, about J.R.R. Tolkien, writer of The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings, making a biopic with him starring Nicholas Holt. I'm not a huge fan here. I've read a few bios on J.R.R. Tolkien throughout my life. And I don't see, like, what's cinematic. I know he went to World War One. I mean, I know that could be a whole story. Is this a World War One movie? Or this is, like, if you just yada yada World War One in this story, like, I'm going to have an issue with that.
Wasn't that important.
I don't know. I mean, maybe they'll do a great job with it. I know it comes out in the spring, which is not really an Oscar release time. I'm worried about it.
Yeah, yeah. And we had Ma as well came out. Octavia Spencer's playing a party animal mother type character who seems like she's got some nefarious undertones. It's a little bit of a horror thriller type thing. I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to see Octavia Spencer play against type. That's why I'm always a big fan of watching talented people try talented things in different areas. So yeah, go for it. I can't wait. I hope it lives up to the hype. But if we talk about box office reports, it seems like sometimes the best laid plans and things that are done with intrigue don't live up to the hype nonetheless. So let's talk about it. The box office report for this weekend, the final weekend before Oscar Sunday. And Mike, Alita Battle Angel was supposed to be the big one.
It did okay internationally. in terms of worldwide cume.
Yeah, except now it needs the international box office just to break even and make money.
$130.8 million worldwide, only $27 million domestically on the weekend, yeah, 36 total.
Very bad. That's $27 million domestic box office for that type of movie with a $150 million plus production budget. That's not good.
$170 million, that's bad.
Not
great. Lego Movie 2.
Bad reviews, too, I should add in.
Right.
Great reviews for that. Yeah.
Robert Rodriguez hasn't made a great movie in a while. I've never been a huge fan of him.
It just looked so intriguing, and it looked like it could have been the first. You know, we're dying kind of to have this race towards 2020 Oscars. The last couple of Februaries, we've had a big movie that kind of sustained itself through the year. Black Panther, Get Out, and I thought maybe Alita could do that. Maybe it'll be for the visual effects. Certainly doesn't seem to be the case to have any legs for award season otherwise. Yeah.
Lego Movie 2, perhaps as an animated feature contender. $21 million weekend, 97.3 total now, 62.34 domestic international cumes. It, again, underperforming.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe the box office is just the dread. Maybe word of mouth isn't doing these movies justice. It seems like the professional reviews are a little lower on both of them, too. Nothing really hitting the box office. And
well, I mean, Lego Movie 2's got good reviews overall, but it's you're right. I mean,
I mean, they're good. They're good for any movie, but they're not like, you know, they're not what the Lego Movie 1 was.
Okay, so 85% I'm seeing now. Last week, this was 90-something percent when we previewed it.
And the 79% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes, too, is kind of indicative. And that's supposed to be a really crowd-pleasing movie.
Right. Isn't It Romantic? $14 million, $20 million total.
This is your favorite rom-com.
I want to see this kind of. Got okay reviews. I'll probably wait till it comes to VOD or something.
I don't think I have much of value to add to the Isn't It Romantic. At 6.4 on IMDb.
Okay.
Yeah, it's doing all right.
What Men Want, $10.9, $38 million total.
I just dropped to my knees, and I thank the Lord above that we live in a society where What Men Want was able to be greenlit hit the screen.
Taraji P. Henson, she's made some bad choices, unfortunately.
Her last couple movies have been rough. But yeah, she's a great talent. I don't know why this movie had to be made, but...
Speaking of another underperforming film, Happy Death Day to You, $9 million domestic, $25 million total. Mike, this is still in the black because the budget's so low. So it's a $9 million budget.
It's a Blumhouse movie. This is what Blumhouse got made famous for.
It's already in the black.
Yeah, they take these low-budget horror movies, they put a quality script behind them. They put them out there, do decent marketing, and they live off the backs of the profits.
That being said, when they, you know, put this out there, I think they felt that a sequel to an established film was going to do much better than fifth at the opening weekend box office.
Probably a fair statement, especially considering that the original one opened up to like a $26 million box office on its opening weekend. This one did a lot. So yeah, it's no doubt a disappointment. But
Glass goes over 100 million, 234 worldwide total.
It's making money, right?
It's making money.
People are happy about that. M. Night Shyamalan, I know the reviews are kind of mixed and polarizing, and it seems like Shyamalan might be up to his
got our faith back in M. Night. Yeah. And now he's gotten hurt.
I heard how that one ends.
I don't want to know. I still want to see it.
I'm not thrilled.
When it comes out on VOD, I'm not going to go to the movie to see it. Green Book hits $126 million total off a $23 million budget. So that wound up making big money at the end of the day.
I don't know why, but I feel like I'm going to talk about that movie this week.
Perhaps. They Shall Not Grow Old. This is yet another documentary.
Getting momentum, man.
Yeah, well over $10 million, $15 million total. So that's good for them.
Getting all sorts of momentum, which should have been nominated, right? Amongst other things, but
perhaps. Mike, it's your turn to sing now.
All right. What a voice. This is the Do You Care segment. This is where we take different news stories from the week and we ask each other, do we, should we, or will we care about them? And we usually kick off this segment by talking about the upcoming releases this week. So, Michael, upcoming releases this week, what do we got?
Yeah, two big ones. How to Train Your Dragon 3. This is expanding to 4,000 theaters worldwide.
It's a big number.
Fighting With My Family, which came out limited last week, is expanding. This is your big WWE movie that we weighed in on last week that's getting great reviews.
I'm excited for it. I really didn't expect it to be a critical success,
right?
Or a critical darling.
That's cool, though.
Stephen Merchant's a talented director. It's got a great cast attached to it. It makes sense. I just didn't think a pro wrestling movie would be shined on the way it has been, but I'm happy.
There's never been one? Like, other than The Wrestler, which is not really a WWE
movie. I mean, there's been, like, WWE studio films that none of them have done well. Right. So, and this is one. So
maybe they've gotten their reps up till now, and then The Rock, and this is a personal story. The
Standard Bearer is Ready to Rumble, starring David Arquette.
Okay, so that answers my question. But how did Train Your Dragon 3? They've all looked phenomenal.
This That's probably our first Oscars 2020 movie of the year.
If not the Lego Movie 2. Do we have two
animated features? Animated features. Back and forth, and again, if Disney has anything to say about it, we'll see what they come out with later on this year. But that's nice to see that we're getting our feet wet for the Oscars race in 2020, as if we need time off ever, which we don't apparently.
We don't get it.
We just keep going. This fucking
my brain just blanks.
Time just keeps coming, man. The new Aquaman spinoff, Mike, on the next Do You Care story. New Aquaman spinoff is going to be a horror sequel called The Trench. Do We Care?
It's cool. You know, middle of that movie, we go to this strange land of the trench and we see all these crazy creatures and then there's a war and it's pretty cool. So they're doing like a horror sequel to this with Aquaman?
Yeah. Are we at the point where DC should be doing spinoffs, like tangential spinoffs to their properties already?
Yeah. I don't know who the stars of this is going to be. So it's probably not Aquaman.
Shouldn't you get your main character stories set in stone first and be sure that you can subsist off those?
Yeah, then again, it made one point.
It made a shitload of money. I get it, but...
And that was a cool part of the movie, so... I don't know.
Whatever.
Perhaps.
Could be Mike, talking on my ass here.
We got new Bond and Fast and Furious movies coming in 2020. This has been announced.
Okay, I will believe we have a new Fast and Furious movie coming. I will believe we have a new Bond movie coming when I see the trailer for the new Bond movie that's coming. Because this next Daniel Craig movie, it wasn't even supposed to be Daniel Craig until he renegotiated. It's been in rumors and conjecture, and they'll get this director and then that director left, and we have a new person writing this script. Get it figured out. Figure it out. Then tell me it's coming to expect it. Because I'm a big James Bond guy. I love the series. I have the Blu-ray set, and I'm a junkie like that. But you can't play games with me like this. You understand? I have something invested here.
Do you like the Daniel Craig movies?
I love them. I think they were such a badly needed reboot, if you want to call it that, to actually make James Bond an important cinematic figure again. I'm going to be sad when he leaves.
He's actually a character now.
Right. The movies are actually like cinematic events, which were badly needed because Pierce Brosnan, Goldeneye was great, and then it kind of went downhill from there. It seems like the Daniel Craig ones have at least, they're critical successes too, which is nice. And to making box office. I look forward to more of them, and maybe he finds his way into the Academy Awards section at some point, because it'd be nice for any action movie to find their way into the Academy Awards.
We can only hope.
Mike, Merle Ginsburg of the New York Post came out, reported that industry insiders said more money than ever has been spent on this year's Academy Award push, citing examples such as Roma's campaign costing $25 million, outpacing its own total production budget by $10 million, as it only cost $15 million to make, and that each of A Star is Born, Green Book, and Black Panther had just Oscar campaigns costing in the $20 to $30 million range. Do you care?
Crazy. Of course I care, because yes, all of those movies have done well for themselves as far as we know. Like, Roma's just raising Netflix's prestige. A Star is Born made probably a couple $100 million profit. And Green Book seems to have made close to $100 million profit, or that's where it'll wind up. Of course, Black Panther set all the records in the world. So they have the money to spend. I'm just surprised. Like, this is crazy money being thrown around.
That's a lot of money. I would not expect the numbers to be that high. Actually, a fascinating article. He goes into how, like, 1996 was the first time that somebody's Oscar campaign budget, marketing budget, outpaced their production budget. And he talks about the hair and makeup and the people that, where all the money goes to, how the jobs that are attached to these. There are people in the industry that are just in charge of Oscar marketing pushes and how they make hundreds of thousands of dollars for themselves. You knew there's money in Hollywood, right? But when you actually sit down and look at the numbers or have a reality check like this, God, does it blow me away.
It blows me away, too. And where is, like, the tangible win for it? Like, all right, if it wins...
It's one of the questions it asks,
If it wins, like, A Star is Born is on VOD. That one I get. Green Book is in theaters and coming on VOD. I get that a little bit, too. Roma and Black Panther, they are on Netflix. So, like, where is, like, the one-to-one?
Like, this what's the payoff, too? Like, what's... Does an Oscar win mean that much? And apparently the answer is yes.
Because people that already have Netflix will watch those two movies again and keep Netflix, I
guess? Yeah. Your guess is as good as mine, but they apparently see value somewhere enough to throw a young basketball NBA player's salary into it.
Oh, my God. Crazy. Great transition by you.
Hey.
Michael, did you watch NBA All-Star Saturday night? I only watched highlights. Do you care?
I do care. I take Saturday night very seriously. It's one of my favorite nights of the year, and it's usually massively disappointing. This year's dunk contest was fine. It wasn't one of the all-time. We're never going to get better than what Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine did a couple years ago.
Right.
Three-point contest has kind of become a more serious event. Like, there's a lot of headlining stars in that, even though Joe Harris won this year. Has nothing to do with Hollywood or the Oscars. But I like it.
I like it, too.
I didn't watch the All-Star game.
I didn't watch it. I watched the highlights. I usually like it. We were working hard that night.
I had it on in the background. We do too much.
And somebody else was watching something else.
We
last
go
night,
away
though,
together.
I'm going to ask my own self, do you care? I care about the MMA now. I watched the Velasquez Ngannou fight, and it was pretty good. The card was good. The fight was terrible.
26 seconds.
Yeah. But the card was good. There was a couple fights in there that just blew me away. Like, I can't believe these guys are hugging each other before and after the match, and then they're beating the ever-living crap out of each other with
Let me tell you, you think Hollywood has a problem with the way it treats its workers.
Ugh.
Don't do any research into UFC specifically.
Really?
Dana White, not a stand-up gentleman, but that's a different conversation for probably a different podcast.
Well, you're a WWE guy, too, so bias isn't available. But, yeah, as an entertainment value, as a big night in sports, I mean, that was something, and it was a crazy way to end it.
That was this past weekend, and we are going headlong into this upcoming weekend, and it's our Super Bowl and our own All-Star Saturday night, Sunday night, as it will be, the Academy Awards, 91st Academy Awards, come to you live from fabulous Los Angeles this Sunday, February 24th. Mike and I will be live tweeting during it. We will be giving you a new episode of MMO every day leading up to it and through it, at least we're going to have something at least until Monday, at least, so we can have 8 days straight if it's not been 9 or 10 already. I don't know. Look, I'm tired, all right? You understand? I'm very tired already, and it's just Monday.
So you have to write our MMOs for us, and you have to somehow solve this unsolvable 6 degrees of MMO for the weekend.
Yeah. So. You got a lot on your plate, and if you want to give us your Oscar-style categories for the MMO Awards, the Mike and Oscars, as we call them, those will be, like we said, they'll be taped during the middle of the week. You got a couple days left. We'd love to hear from you where you can put those. If you do have one that you're dying to have us answer, we're hoping to include as many as we can, if not all of them. But you can reach out to us on Mike and Oscar on Facebook, Mike and Oscar on Instagram, MM and Oscar on the Twitter machine, Mike and Oscar at gmail.com, and on Reddit. We're available everywhere you do hear podcasts. Tune in, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, Google Play, etc. Just type in Mike and Oscar. You will see our smiling faces live from the Oscars red carpet, smiling and waving back at you, Michael. Long MMO weekly, long week coming up. We're going to be tired of each other. Words of wisdom, help me make you more palatable to me.
Scott Feinberg. It's simple as that.
Yes.
Scott Feinberg did a great interview with us. We're putting it out tomorrow. You can listen to it before, after the Oscars, whenever you're listening to this, getting this hype job, because bottom line is, it's a great interview. He talks about his whole life first.
Yeah, like sincerely, if you've listened this far, that's one of the more special episodes and one of the more special conversations we've had.
Yeah, tell your friends about it, please.
Here.
Yeah, if they listen to one episode of MMO, be one of the interviews, because we've had an awesome time talking to these established entertainers and Oscarologists and Hollywood personalities. And Scott does an awesome job. Go listen to Awards Chatter. Go read the Feinberg Forecast. Read the Hollywood Reporter and pick up that magazine on shelves soon, if not now.
Absolutely. And if you want to be tuned in to see what we have as far as our plans for this coming week, for every new episode that's coming out, that'll be up on Instagram, probably on the other social media pages as well. Go check that out. You'll see our famous whiteboard. But look, guys, reality's not going to suck this week. There's too much to do, so wait for another time. But when it does, come watch movies with us. Check out all our new content, all our new episodes, every new podcast coming to you this week. And we will check you out literally in a couple hours.
See ya.